David for leading that song, but that's exactly what we want to study this morning. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to the 19th Psalm. It'll be the basis of our study today. And for our guests, we thank you for coming. We're very blessed to have you. Appreciate your presence. And we trust our worship together has been honoring God and focused upon honoring Him, and that we have glorified Him today in our worship together. In our society, we find, of course, that the integrity of the Scriptures is greatly called in question, some by sources that we would expect, some by sources that we might be surprised. Mainstream denominations and many non-denominational churches have even called in question the very integrity of the Scriptures. Today, I want us to focus upon the sufficiency of God's Word as based upon the text and what God says about His Word in the 19th Psalm. There are some who put a great deal of trust and confidence in man rather than God. They put a great deal of confidence in philosophy and psychology to solve man's problems. They put a great deal of confidence in the schemes and designs of man for local church growth rather than in the pattern that is found in God's Word. They put more trust and confidence in the speaker rather than putting confidence in the simple message that comes from His Word, and all of this is nothing more than an acceptance of worldliness. And so the question today, is God's Word sufficient in matters of faith? Is God's Word enough? Has God truly spoken to us through this book that we call the Bible? Psalm 19 is one of the most concise statements concerning the sufficiency of the Scripture. And you might notice that it is ascribed to David. Here was a man who lived an extremely eventful life. A man who endured the problems of deep sin, who had a bad marriage, who had a son that rebelled against him, whose life was commonly threatened. And David, out of the emotion of his heart, pours out this magnificent psalm and exalting the very revelation of God. First of all, notice with me that Psalm 19 is organized in a couple of ways. Number one, verses 1 through 6, what we might refer to as natural revelation. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of the God, and the firmament shows His handiwork," demonstrating the very existence and magnificence of God. Man looks to the stars, and he knows that there is indeed a Creator. And he can understand the magnificence and power of this Creator. Yet man cannot look to the stars and know the mind of God. We can't look into the sun and say, "God, what is it you want from me?" Therefore, God did not only reveal Himself in nature, but God revealed Himself in a very special way. And that's what we find primarily in verses 7 through 11, the verses that we're going to focus upon for a while this morning. I want you to notice in verses 7 through 11, especially verses 7 through 9, a couple of things about the structure of these verses. Number one, that there are six lines of thought. And in those six lines of thought, we find that each line has three elements. Number one, it has a title. Notice that the title is ascribed each time to God. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. The psalmist is telling us that the law, the testimony, the fear, these come from Jehovah God Himself, that God has spoken. Number two, notice that each has a character. The law of the Lord, he says, is perfect, and so forth and so on. And then finally, we notice that each of them has a benefit. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the first one we're going to look at. And this is the organization of these verses that we're going to focus upon this morning. But first of all, notice that in verse 7 he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The word law is from the Hebrew word Torah, which basically means divine, or basically means instruction. And then when we say the law of the Lord, we simply mean divine instruction. He identifies Scripture as being the doctrine of God. It is our creed, or ought to be our creed. It is what we believe. It ought to describe our character. It is what we are. And it ought to describe our actions, that is, describing what we do with our life. It is God's instruction manual for life. And God says, the psalmist says, that this law is perfect. In contrast to imperfect reasonings of man, it is whole and complete. It covers everything and lacks nothing. It is all that is necessary for our spiritual life. It is perfect, and the benefit is that it can revolutionize and change your life. That is, that it converts the soul. The word conversion here simply means to revive or to restore or to transform. James put it like this in James 1. He says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, you notice that Peter says, "You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever." Thus, God's word is powerful enough to change our life, to change your life. Now, there are a lot of people that think that what we need to do is we need to bring in a celebrity to make it more attractive. I remember when growing up, I well remember Mom and Dad talking about Pat Boone leading the singing at a Church of Christ in Dallas. And boy, what a disappointment did he ever turn out to be. But we wanted to bring in a celebrity so that we could attract the crowd. There are some that simply think that perhaps if we can give a promise of material success like Joel Osteen, or if we can just make it a little more palatable, bring in the coffee and donuts and the Family Life Center, and let's not, you know, upset their ego or destroy their self-esteem. No, the real power is in the old, old story of the cross. The real power, converting power, is found in the Word of God. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that His Word is perfect? Do we believe that it is the sea where the pearl can be found, or the field where there is that buried treasure? Do we believe it enough to pick it up and read it every day and let God talk to us? The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." I want you to turn with me to Psalm 119. You might just hold your place in Psalm 119 because we're going to look at some parallel verses there. But notice what the psalmist says in the 119th Psalm. First of all, verse 41. "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your word." And in verse 50, he says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." And in verse 174, he says, "I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight." But notice that in Psalm 19, he says, "The law of the Lord," or the testimony of the Lord, "is sure, making wise the simple." The title here is "The Testimony of the Lord." Thus, divine witness. It is who God is, and it tells us what He requires. And he says this divine testimony is sure. By being sure, it means to be unwavering and secure, a solid foundation. A few weeks ago, Jamie and I were sitting down talking with a Mormon. And in that discussion, Jamie aptly brought out the fact that the Book of Mormon is based upon a civilization referred to as the Nephites. And we simply asked the question, "You say that there were 2 million Nephites that lived in America. Now, where is the archaeological evidence of that civilization?" And the answer was, there is none, or very little evidence. The reality is that the Bible is based upon ancient civilizations of which there have been tremendous archaeological evidence. And there is a statement made by Peter in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 where Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And in the same passage he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God's law is sure. It is a solid foundation for our life. And the benefit of God's law is that it makes wise the simple. By simple, we mean undiscerning, the naive, the inexperienced. That's you and me. If you want to know how to live, I mean really to have the skills on knowing how to live in this world. Well, God gave planet Earth a manual. You know, when you go to work, when Scott goes to work on that Mustang, he goes and gets the manual. Otherwise, you know, you have problems. You follow the directions. Well, God gave planet Earth a manual on how to live. And you know what God says? God's Word knows the end from the beginning. God's Word says that wine is a mocker. You know, if people just listen to that, they could have a much happier life. But they won't sometimes. God's Word provides warning against sexual promiscuity, but people won't listen. It knows the end from the beginning. It tells us how to really live and how to enjoy this life. It is sure, and it will make the simple wise. We don't need sociology. We don't need psychology. We don't need the philosophies of men. Bible truth is relevant to living today, contrary to what men say. Thus in Psalm 119, notice what he says, beginning with verse 98. Psalm 119 and beginning with verse 98. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. When I read those verses, it reminds me of that college professor that got before us at A&M in biology and said, anyone that believes in a God is fool. And I thought, no, sir, I know more than you do. And I'm not a scholar, but I know who made this world. And there is abundant evidence by which God has given me that wisdom to know and understand those things. And in verse 104, he says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Then he says in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The title here is the statutes. That is, the principles and precepts and guidelines of the Lord. Again, referring to Scripture. And he says, the principles and precepts of God are right. That is, they show the true path. The idea here is of a chart for life, a map or a compass. You know, if I want to know how to go from here to Iran, Texas, way out in West Texas, way out in the middle of nowhere, I get out a map. I know I need to go down I-10 and follow it to a certain highway and follow it. And I found out the hard way one time, if you don't follow the map, you can go 20 miles out of the way. But God gives me a way and shows me how to live. He gives us a map and a compass for life. He has our life charted out. He has a plan for your life and my life. And that plan is clearly revealed in His Word. He does not wander in human opinion. It is right. And God says that the benefit is that His Word rejoices the heart. Reminded of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Here was a man who had a very difficult job, preaching God's Word among those who basically rejected it. But he says, your Word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I'm reminded of what John says in 1 John 1 and verse 4. These things I declare to you that your joy may be full. You know, people are looking for happiness and contentment and joy in all kinds of places. They'll look for it in some kind of religious experience, some kind of miracle. Or they'll look into some mystical, look for it in some kind of vision or dream or angels talking to them or some mystical way. But to have the joy of God, all I need to do is open this book and let God talk to me. And you know, a lot of people are looking for joy in material things and the pleasures of this world and self-fulfillment and all the ways of man and philosophies of man, but simple joy comes by nothing more than looking into God's Word and putting His principles into practice. Thus, in Psalm 119 and verse 14, the psalmist again affirms that. He says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation." Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precept diligently. Oh, that my ways were... I'll get it right. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much in all riches. And in Psalm 119 and verse 54, he says, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And in verse 111, he says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. God's Word and the practice of God's Word ought to be our very song of joy. Then he says in the same passage, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. By commandment, he means divine decrees. But by that, he means it's not optional. It's not just a suggestion, but it's a binding. And we must respond to the commandment in order to receive the blessing that God offers. And he says the commandment of the Lord is very clear. I can relate to that as a father. I can remember sometimes giving a commandment to my children and they would go, "Huh?" And rightly so, because it wasn't very clear. Ever pulled off the highway sometimes, you lost, and you go in and you say, "Hey man, I'd like directions, I'm trying to get over here to such and such." And they give you directions, and you go back out to the car, and you get in the car, and the wife said, you understand how to get there now? And yeah, the directions are clear as mud. But God's commandments are very clear. They are not mystifying or puzzling. They don't muddy the mind. They give a clear direction for life, a map for life, a map on how to live, how to really live, and how to live a joyful life in this world. And he says the benefit is that God's commandments enlighten. With darkness in this world, we need that refreshing light. God's commandments will help the blind man, that's you and I, find the way. When I was growing up, one of my favorite activities was going with my parents to the lake. And Dad and I, we would get in the boat and we would go all the way across the lake to the other side. And we would stay sometimes till 2 or 3 in the morning, just around a stump fishing for crappie. And there were occasions when my father would say, "Okay, tonight you're taking us back to the car." The first time I thought, "Boy, this is going to be a piece of cake." But boy, was I ever wrong, because let me tell you something. The terrain is altogether different once the sun goes down. And navigating up a river where there are a lot of tree stumps and rocks that you could really mess a boat up on. So Dad had a spotlight. And he said, "This is your light. You find a way back to the car. It's yours tonight to take us back." God gave us a spotlight. His Word enlightens the way. It shows us the way, the clear path to joyful and successful living. It's like a lamp. You know, Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." I don't need science to tell me where I came from and why I'm here. Because the very one who made this world gave me this book. He tells me where I came from. And he tells us why we're here. I don't need a sociologist to define right and wrong, to tell me what sin is. Because God's book clearly tells me what sin is and how to avoid it and how I ought to live. Psalm 119. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 92, "Unless your law had been my delight, I then would have perished in my affliction." And he says in verse 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is sufficient to light the way, to help us to find the way." Then he says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." The word fear here is a synonym for Scripture. And you might ask the question, why? Because Scripture invokes awe and respect for God. Because God's Word incites worship and reverence. That's one of the very reasons why God gave us His Word. And He says the fear of the Lord is clean. It has no defilement, no error. What it says is pure. You can always trust it. You can't always trust a man. In fact, there are some men who desire to be trustworthy, but unfortunately, even they make mistakes. But God's Word never changes. And there are people that say, well, you know, God's Word is just not sophisticated enough for a high-tech society. It needs an update or an upgrade like the computer. Wrong. God's Word is relevant in our society as the time in which it was written. And He says it is clean. And He says the effect is that it purifies the heart. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verses 2 and 3. "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." And in verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? Answer, by taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against You." Where do you go for purity? Where do you go to purify the heart and to live righteously before God? How can I know what God wants of me? God's Word is sufficient. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The word "true" here simply means ordinance or divine verdict. God's judicial determination. And God is an eternal judge. And He is a judge that we can always depend upon. And when the word is preached, men's hearts are judged. You know how people say, "You're judging me." No, I just read the word. I'm not judging you. God is. God's word judges. And when people practice God's word, it sets them apart from those who refuse. And the psalmist says that the judgments of the Lord are true. You know, it's hard to find truth in our society. In fact, sometimes it's hard to even find a truthful judge in our society. But His word is always true, always dependable and always relevant and always applicable. And He says the judgments of the Lord are righteous altogether. That is, they are totally right. There is no error in it. Thus in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2, we find a statement made there that is also somewhat repeated in the book of Revelation. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2, notice that Moses said, that God says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. It needs no additions and it needs no subtractions. We need no more revelation or prophecy or vision from God. What God has revealed is sufficient. Thus Psalm 119 again. This time verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And in verse 128, therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Verse 137 and 138, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. Verse 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. Those are pretty bold claims. God says, I've met man's every need. I put him on earth, and I gave him a manual to go by. Now, I don't ask you to accept it just because I think it or believe it, nor do I ask you to accept it just because David said it. But I would ask you to examine the evidence. God has given abundant evidence to back up the claim that His Word is sufficient. And finally, the psalmist offers these exhortations. More to be desired are they than gold. You believe that? Let me ask a question. Do you believe that the book that sits in your lap today is the greatest treasure that you have in this world? You believe that? Then ask another question. Why is it that we will let it collect dust, but we won't let the car collect dust? Or the house. We won't neglect that one. But we neglect letting God talk to us. The greatest treasure that you have is the Word of God. More desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. And sweeter also than the honey in the honeycombs. And He says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is indeed great reward. And then, verse 14, the response of David. Standing in awe of God, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. There's not anything more important in this life than being accepted by God. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The question is, where do you stand today with God? The number one question in the life of man is not where do you live or where do you work, but the most important question in life is, where do I stand with my God, my Creator? And God gives you an answer, and He can help you get your life right with Him if you're willing to do it. If we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song. Read.